I'm Haley Blay, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, FM, FM. Toquen ahora con ganas.
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CEC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled. But if you look on your iPod or computer or on the radio, you'll know that I mean that ironically. And today's show is going to be about a few different things. The first thing, a question that I would like to ask all of you. Where is the worst place to be during an earthquake? I know when a tragedy strikes, most of us probably think the humane thing, like, are people okay? What can we do to help? Things like that. Unfortunately, what I think is, if it's like an earthquake, I think, man, I really wish I wasn't, if I was in that situation, I really wish I wasn't at this place during that time. Like, an elevator during an earthquake. If you're in an elevator during an earthquake, you probably don't really know what's going outside. You don't know if it's an earthquake. You don't know if, like, maybe the building is crashing down. Maybe it's a terrorist attack. You don't know what's going on. You're just stuck in there. There's no way to get out, and you're pretty much just doomed right there, because there's likely no way to get out, unless you actually the elevator opened at the floor. Unless you were lucky like that. Another place, maybe people don't think this would be one, but I think the forest would be another place you wouldn't want to be during an earthquake, because I imagine during an earthquake, a lot of trees would fall, and it would be like that. It would be like that scene in The Maze Runner, where the main actor, whose name Daniel O'Brien, he's running, and there's like these blades that are like closing up, but he has to get to the other side of these blades. He has to run fast enough to get past them and to the other side. If you've seen it, you probably understand better. By not my explanation. But I think it would be a similar kind of situation. You would have to run for it, or especially if it's a lot of tall forests. A shooting range. I feel, yeah, you know, if there's an earthquake, people will probably sound like, oh, crap, there's an earthquake. We should stop shooting. But, you know, there might be that one person who's just like, oh, it's just like a truck passing by. And then, you know, you might get shot. Or if it's a golf course. And you're the person who's, like, cleaning up the balls, picking them up, and manually not. Now they use, like, a golf cart where it's kind of like those big machines that, like, I don't know what it's called, where it has that curved thing in the front like a shovel. It's kind of like that, where, you know, you just drive and you push all the golf balls to one side, making it easier to pick up. You can probably just, like, use a broom and just push them in. But I imagine that would be difficult, too, with all, like, these balls around you. And if you were trying to run during an earthquake, in that situation, you're most likely to trip, I believe. In that sort of situation, archery and bowling. I feel like those two. I know what you're all might be thinking is that, you know, if there's an earthquake going on, people are probably going to stop, right? Going to stop what they're doing. They're not going to continue what they're doing. I don't think that's going to happen. I think people are probably just going to keep going. They're going to be naive about it. Like, oh, this, an earthquake would never happen to me. I would never get pregnant at a young age. I would never not be accepted to UBC. Or, you know, when you think those kind of things, like, I'll never be raped. Like, things like that. People always have that kind of, like, a strong sense. It's like before, like, I broke my leg, and until I broke my leg, I always thought, like, my body's strong. It always kind of felt strong to me, like, oh, I'm invincible, that kind of feeling. But then I broke my leg, I broke my knee, to be more specific. Now it's just like, no, your body's not invincible, and you can actually, and I can actually feel that it's not invincible. Sometimes you need that kind of feeling to learn that it's not. Another worst place to be during an earthquake, or even just like a natural disaster, a surgery. If you're in the middle of a surgery, oh, I wonder what the doctor's reaction would be. If you're under, then you know you can't do anything. But if it's up to the doctor to really save your life, even more so now because you're in a surgery, it's an earthquake, you're under. And I don't think, I wonder if hospitals have, like, emergency plans when an earthquake happens, or if there is a natural disaster. Like, schools have it, like, earthquake, okay, go under the table for 60 seconds, and then we all run out, or fire immediately, just run out. Or at least that was my school's safety measures, very simple, really. But for a hospital, it would have to be quite difficult to figure that out. There might be ongoing conversations about this, like in any kind of government, where it just kind of keeps going and going and going, and eventually it might land somewhere. But I wonder if there are any safety measures like that. For those who are, like, in surgery and those who are, like, in critical condition and can't do without the technology and meds and things like that, what would happen under that circumstances? I just feel like if I imagine an earthquake and someone in surgery, I can imagine the doctor just freaking out too. What kind of training does a doctor go through in that during a surgery and during an earthquake? They're, like, so calm, like, let's finish this. We can do this, people. That would be one hell of a doctor. A bathroom. A bathroom is another horrible place to be during an earthquake. Like, in the middle of taking a shit. I mean, that would just be horrendous. Like, you probably, at that, if an earthquake is going on during that time, you're like, oh my god, I really want to just put on my pants and get out of here, but you can't. You're like in the middle of it, you have to push this log through. Or if you're in the shower, gosh, that's bad too. Like, if an earthquake just messed up the pipes and the water suddenly went cold, it's just another added negative to the situation. Imagine if there was a flood, too. It'll be like, if there's a flood, it breaks down your house, and you are in a shower, and suddenly you're in a gigantic swimming pool. A window washer. That would be something. If you're that high up, and let's just say it's a building that was built to sustain earthquakes, so it kind of, maybe it wiggles a little, or it's built so that it can move a little bit during the earthquake, so that way it doesn't break apart. If you're a window washer in that type of building, you might think, oh, it's just the wind. But then maybe window washers are taught, like, don't look down. But then if they don't look down, they won't know that it's an earthquake. And what do you do in that situation? Do you just stay up there? Do you just stay up on the building and hope it passes? Or do you go down to the ground and join everybody else and start shaking with the earth? What do you do in that situation? And let's say you're going for a world record. Oh gosh, what do you do in that situation? Like, this is the moment. This is the time. You have been training for this moment to get this record, whatever it is. Let's say it's a physical record. where you know, you have to run a certain distance, you have to climb a certain distance or whatnot, and this natural disaster that just ruins it for you. After that, you're just the person everybody wants to stay away from because you keep complaining about that one time you're going for the record, and you keep saying, I could have won that record. I could have won it, but there was this disaster that happened. At the beginning, sure, we're all sympathetic, and we get it. But afterwards, no, we're not sympathetic anymore. You need to get over this. A ladder, too. Similar to a window washer, but you would know the earthquake's going on by the ladder moving. You'd probably fall immediately. But I wonder, if you were calm during an earthquake, and you just kind of laid on your back, would it be kind of, would it feel like a sort of massage? Would you kind of bounce up and down? I feel like the experiments that you usually do, like natural disasters and things, that usually, you know, serious experiments, like how high does it have to be on the Richter scale or the other secondary scale that is used for the building to fall down? Or what else would you measure? Like how deep do the tree's roots need to be before it falls down? And how much damage is there to modernize city and things like that? Other experiments I'm thinking about doing are more are funny, really. See if like the world becomes a huge massage chair when you're in an earthquake. If you're calm and if you're able to enjoy it. Otherwise, it's like this masseuse that just put themselves on you. Let's say if you are having your wedding. If you're about to walk down the aisle or you're about to throw your bouquet of flowers. On my wedding day, an earthquake occurred. So my wedding was absolutely ruined. The cake fell over, the flowers, the petals were vibrated off. But that would be quite a story. On my wedding, there was an earthquake and we survived. Or they have been together for 5 years. Today, they will finally get married. And then suddenly, a building falls right on top of them. I know it's a sad thing, it's a horrible thing, but it's kind of funny how at different situations, where there are some situations you don't want to be in during an earthquake. So it's like, and in today's world, there's like so many natural disasters and things going on. Here's one thing I didn't know about hurricanes. I learned this from a class at UBC. I found, like, you know when you heard about, like, Hurricane Katrina and things like that? I never knew why it was called Hurricane Katrina. I always wonder, like, why is it called Hurricane Katrina? Like, why that name? Why not call it, like, Hurricane New Orleans, like, where it happened? Why not name it after the city? And I found out from a class, what happens is, like, a national organization comes together, and for 1 year, for alternating years, they choose male names and female names. Let's say this year is female names. So they use the alphabet, and they pick out a female name for each letter of the alphabet. And then the next year would be male names. So you can tell by what letter the name of the hurricane, by what number of hurricanes that happened this year. Now that I explained that, right? Like Hurricane Katrina, that's K. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. So that would be the 11th hurricane of that year. And I suppose if they like ran out of the list, like if there was how many letters in the alphabet? I want to say 28 or 27. If they made it past it, then I imagine they would have like another list of female names, or they probably wouldn't go to male names because that would be a separate year. They would have to make that distinction. But yeah, it was interesting when I learned that because I had no idea that's how it worked. Otherwise, I would always wonder, like, why Hurricane Katrina? Why not a male name? Why not something else? And another place or a thing you wouldn't want to do during an earthquake, sword swallowing. Oh, just hearing about it just makes me cringe. It's like nails on a chalkboard kind of a feeling. Or like your nails under other nails. You know when you're like cutting your nails and you have the, what's it called? The nail cutter, whatever. And you're cutting your nail, but you go a little too deep and you start hitting the skin. Ooh, that feeling. Or if you were like using your nails and they're not really long and you're like scratching paper. I remember I hated that feeling as a kid. Like I would go to like the barber shop with my brothers. They're like getting their hair cut there. Sometimes I would get my hair cut there too. And I would just be like reading. Well, I want to be I was reading the paper, but not, I was reading like the comic section back when there were papers and they had comic sections. But luckily, some do survive, luckily. But one time I like accidentally scratched the paper. I have no idea how I accidentally did it, but it did it. And it was such a weird sensation. I hated it. I hated it, but I did it again anyway. And every now and again, I do it again, but it's such a weird feeling. Like, try it. Like, it has to be, like, newspaper paper. It can't be, like, yellow legal pad paper. It has to be, like, Discorder magazine kind of paper. But sword swallowing. If you were sword swallowing due to earthquake, the internal damage that would cause you, and no one would expect that from an earthquake. It's usually external damage. And now I'm gonna go ahead and play some instrumental music for all of you. This is from the album Fantasia Pastoral, Musical Moments in Nature, piano solos by Lisa Provendor Schneider. I always feel sorry for the people I play on my show because I can never say their name correctly unless it's a typical name, and that's not very fair to those of us who don't have names that are overused, like mine, Neetu. N-E-E-T-U, for those of you who aren't good at spelling as I am. And this first song is called Meditation on Blades of Grass. Thank you.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Discordianism is a religion and subsequent philosophy.
The Discordian fights seem to be much more forgiving of the normals.
Yeah, the goddess of chaos, or archetypes or
ideas. It's got a really heavy interest in Discordianism.
Founded after the 1963 publication of its holy book, The Principia Discordia.
Discorder magazine has been Vancouver's longest running, free, badass, independent magazine, 35 years strong. On Saturday, July 21st, celebrate 401 issues of Discorder magazine with an all-ages party at Red Gate. There will be performances by BB, Francesca Belcourt, Morning Coo, and The New Rituals, guest hosted by Duncan's Donuts, and featuring a photo booth, giant twister, and more. Tickets are a suggested donation of $10 and doors open at 8. For more information, visit citr.ca or find the event on Facebook.
Giant twister, huh? Another thing you don't want to be doing during an earthquake.
Thank you.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish People's Territory. And we just heard from Lisa Provinder Schneider. Again, excuse my pronunciation. Although I am a radio host, which is probably a skill I want, but I do not have, and I'm not working towards in any way. From her album, Fantasia Pastoral, Musical Moments in Nature, which I have played many times before, actually. And the first song we heard was Meditation on Blades of Grass. And number two, Spring Storm. I'd also like to say that I only play instrumental music on my show for a reason. I'm a big fan of instrumental music.